everyone, and welcome back to The Outer Rim. This is episode 73. I am your host, Chris McGuffin, and we are joined by our full crew this week. It's not just two people. We have all three of us. Mike and Lindsay are here. How are you guys?
Hey.
Greetings, Forsketeers.
Oh, it's not a Star Wars podcast with Mike without that greeting.
I love my Forsketeers.
So I've got to ask, where did Forsketeers come from?
You know, it's brand synergy, you know, with Disney and Star Wars becoming one entity, mm-hmm. You know. And Star Wars fans, we don't really have a name. Like, we're not Trekkies.
Mm-hmm.
So Forsketeers just kind of seemed like the fun thing to say, so.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, speaking of Disney, we had a pretty big news announcement this week.
That was a great segue.
Yeah. So
so this one, yeah, I kind of talked about it last week about Star Wars Land.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go now. We got an official opening date in 2019.
Mm-hmm. For both Disney World and Disneyland at the same time.
That, yeah. Which
I wasn't expecting.
I wasn't either. I expected it a little bit further out, but it's about 3 years, or almost 4 years after they announced it,
mm-hmm.
That it looks like it's going to be finished from concept to opening. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I haven't had a chance to drive by it in the last week or so to look at how the progress is going, but, I mean, some of the aerial shots you can see are pretty cool, and there's definitely a lot of movement back there.
Yeah, they've been doing I haven't been back to the park since October. I need to get back in there, but even when in October, like, you could tell that a lot of work had already been done. So
it's huge. Like, the corner of the park that they've moved, like, a little behind the scenes stuff, like, this is where they used to keep the horses in the park. Like, all the, for the horse-drawn carriages on Main Street, like, this was back where the ranch was. So they've moved all the animals off-site, and then there was an original house back there that was pretty old and sentimental to the company, and that actually got moved to an employee parking lot I used to use. So, this area is just massive, and I cannot wait to see how it's going to look. And a big thing with Disney is, especially in Disneyland, there's no point in Disneyland where you can see outside of the park, really. It's called Beyond the Berm.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see how they're going to kind of build up the berm around the park. Like, are we going to be, like, under a bunch of mountains? I mean, that's the obvious answer. But I'm really curious to see how they're going to kind of protect from seeing, you know, out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's going to be a really interesting thing, because they're really pushing up towards the edge of the area. And obviously in California Adventure, you can see outside the berm, and that's something that they can't really control with the fact that there's a roller coaster there.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do to, yeah, I agree. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of tricks they pull to hide.
I mean, cause like there's a lot of parts in Disneyland that literally butt up against the road. Like,
oh yeah.
You don't realize Tomorrowland is literally up against Harbor Boulevard. Like, like, literally just on the other side of the Utopia is, mm-hmm. like, a real street.
It's a street.
So, it's I'm really curious to see how they do it, because on the side of the park where Star Wars Land is being built, that's on the, like, that's very close to their parking structure. So that's, and the road, Disneyland Drive, that goes literally behind it. So I'm really curious to see how this is going to do, because there's a lot of parts in Disneyland too, like like sandwiched in between these is a little road for employee access or cast member access. So yeah, I this stuff fascinates me. So
yeah, I'm curious what the comparison will be between what we see at Disneyland and what we see at Disney World. I've not been to Disney World in probably close to 15 years now, almost. So I'm not too familiar with the layout. I mean, I know they have the different areas, and you know they're pretty, you know, spread apart. But I maybe they'll have more room there to be, I don't know, a little bit more free and open with what they do.
Well, yeah, in Florida's layout's very different than Disneyland, because the thing was, like, with Disneyland, it was built, Walt kind of only bought the area for Disneyland and, like, a little bit around it, and everything else, like, people moved in once Disneyland became a hit.
Yeah.
So, as far as the actual resort itself, that's all they own. Whereas in Disney World, he planned a little bit savvier and bought everything, like 300 miles in every direction.
Yeah.
Like not that much, but but
might as well be.
Might as well be. Like, it's literally you're going into a different world when you go to Disney World. So they can literally just expand into the swamps because they own them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see what the differences between the two are. Now, Disneyland tends to get the better versions of the two, but because our Disneyland offices are run a little bit differently than Disney World. Mm-hmm. Just the corporate culture is a little bit different. So we will throw as much money as we can at things. So I'm curious to see the different comparisons between the two. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good that we finally get a date, just because I know people have been asking about this and wondering, hey, when is Star Wars Land coming out? And I think it'll be nice, especially since I believe that is the year that probably the next U.S. celebration will occur. So
yeah, how great would it be to be back in Anaheim, like
exactly.
Literally right behind it. Another thing is that we'll have Episode 8 by then.
Mm-hmm.
The Han Solo movie comes out that year, right? No, that's...
No, the Han Solo movie comes out.
Episode 9, yeah. So that's another thing that that Star Wars Land will have access to, literally the entire sequel trilogy.
Yep.
So, because originally we only thought that it would kind of cater to Force Awakens in that world. Now, like, literally everything that happens now can happen here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be nice just to see, you know, what more developments and news come out of that. I'm especially curious just because they've not really talked about Disney World that much. So, you know, like I said, it was really surprising to see this be, you know, all happening at the same time. Because, you know, we were expecting this to be, you know, Disneyland first with Disney World like a year or two later. So I'm just glad that, they have something on both coasts. Just because I know that was a complaint when this was originally announced. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's cheaper for East Coasters to fly to Florida, and same thing with us. Like, it's easier for us to go to Disneyland. Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, they have a problem with doing cloning, too, where each park will have the same attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that gives me one less reason to go over there.
Yeah.
So, unless it's, like, substantially different, which I don't think it will be, I don't know. But the other reason we're hearing so much about Disneyland is because it's kind of making, like, this is the first real expansion to Disneyland since Toontown in the early 90s, and even then, that was, like, nothing compared to
kiddie
this.
Rides and...
Yeah, it's literally a playground for tired parents. Like
one good ride. I mean, not that the other rides aren't. It's got one ride that's.
Yeah, it's got one ride.
Yeah.
No, there's two. There's Gadget's Go Coaster and Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin.
Right.
But yeah,
one of them. It's hard to fit in now.
Yeah, this is setting like records for Disneyland. I think that's why we're hearing more news, because like Disney World, they've got the room to do it, whereas like Disneyland is Disneyland.
Yeah.
So, and this is like our first big expansion since Toontown. It's the biggest land since God, the park was built. So,
yeah.
My only worry with this is that they will, especially for Disneyland, is that as we get more content, people will start to ask for more, you know, exploration of different things in the Star Wars franchise, and it starts to become too small for what they want to do, and they'll eventually have to, you know, think about, you know, possible expansion or, you know, moving things to even maybe even a separate park.
Well, Disney's the thing with Disneyland is, you know, it's never finished.
Yeah.
Like, and they've done this since the park opened. Like, they'll take out things to put new things in. Like, the latest example is the Tower of Terror becoming the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's it's not without precedent. Like, this is gonna be a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it kind of dies out, they'll sub something else in. Like, they've been around the block, is what I'm saying. I think they're planning for that contingency. One question that nobody's answered, though, and I think I kind of know the answer to, is if Star Tours is going to stay in Tomorrowland.
That's a good question.
And see, that's going to be that's a big question, and that's going to be really hard. Yeah. I would say that it is.
I think it is. But I would not be surprised if it moved. Like, I want it to move because I don't want Star Wars in two different sections of the park.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can turn it's a motion simulator. Like, you could turn Star Tours into something else.
Right.
Like, that wouldn't be a problem. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not going to move, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Some people might even argue that Star Tours eventually won't even really be needed. Just because don't get me wrong, I like Star Tours. I've only been on it once when I went to Anaheim, but I like it, but I would probably rather go to Star Wars Land and see what's there, and I imagine that they will have more, you know, more interesting content. And then even if they do move it, you don't want to put something like that in a spot where you can make something new or potentially more exciting, you know?
No, I mean, and that's a good point. Like, that's kind of why I don't think it will move, because that takes room from something that could else potentially be in Star Wars Land.
Yep.
But then it also, leaving it there, also kind of plays that in Tomorrowland. Like, you take that opportunity to put something new in Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Tomorrowland's also one of the most troubled lands, because the problem with Tomorrowland is by the time you update it, it's already Yesterday Land.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have to go with these kind of fantastical things there. And I don't know, like, because if Tomorrowland loses Star Tours, whatever replaces it has to be huge.
Yeah. It has to be of equal caliber, at least.
And the last time that they tried to pull something like that, where they pulled out a ride that maybe, I mean, Star Tours is very, very popular, but the last time Disney pulled out a ride...
I was going to say, are you talking about the People Mover and Rocket Rods?
Oh, yeah. We all know the disaster that was.
Rocket Rods wasn't a terrible ride. It's just that
it
was
wasn't
during,
a terrible ride.
That was
it
during
was a terrible ride, though.
No, it was fun.
It couldn't reach the. It couldn't. It wasn't.
Well,
it wasn't engineering. It wasn't made engineeringly sound, so it couldn't.
No,
reach
it definitely
feet.
Wasn't, because that was during. That was during, like, the Paul Pressler era,
the dark
where
era.
Everything was done cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, it just couldn't do what it. It would have been on paper. It was great. It just couldn't do what it was supposed to do, and so now we just have these remnants hanging above our heads in the park. And I don't want that to happen. I mean, I don't think that would ever happen with Star Tours, like, it being removed. But I mean, to be honest, even Alien Encounter, but Alien Encounters is the same thing down in, Alien Encounters had the same issue down in Walt Disney World. They tried something new, and it didn't work. And then they put in the Stitch thing that worked even less.
which is sad, because like I like the Stitch thing. I think that's great. Mm-hmm.
I see. I loved Alien Encounters.
Like, no, I did too.
Scary, but it was Encounter. Too scary. I guess
it was definitely way too scary for like a Disneyland-esque crowd. Like that's something you put in like one of the off parks, like Epcot or like MGM. Like you don't put that. Yeah, or, you don't put that in Disneyland or
Hollywood
Studios. Yeah, that's not something you put in like your Disneyland park, because it's too scary. But that's why the Stitch ride worked, because it was a Disney character, it was cute, and it was aesthetically the same ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I if I hadn't experienced the Aliens ride, I think I wouldn't have minded Stitch so much. But because
the terrible one was when they did the revamp of the Tiki Room over there, the Tiki Room under new management, where it had Iago from Aladdin and Zazu. That was terrible.
Yeah, but the good thing about Disney is that they still, even when they don't have hits, they still try, and that's the important thing. Mm-hmm. They're always
you can't blame them for shooting for the fences.
Yeah.
So what's next on the list?
We're just sitting here talking about Star Wars Land and opening at Disney, and it's really good news, and then we have a little bit of bad news. Well, bad news depending on your perspective. Not really so bad for me, because I could really care less, but I'm sure this is disappointing to a lot of fans. The Clone Wars is leaving Netflix next month. I don't know what day, but it is in sometime in March. It will be removed from Netflix, which is weird to me, because I remember when they had the deal, and it was only a certain amount of deal, a certain year deal, back in, 2014-ish? 2013, 2014 is when it first went to Netflix.
It seems like they signed a 3-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's leaving. The date that we've seen right now is March 7th.
March 7th, okay.
And now, I'm sad. Like
me too.
I mean, granted, I haven't watched Clone Wars in a while, but having it like available has always been nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like, if this means that if it leaves Netflix and goes to another service, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Disney doesn't really have anything on Hulu.
Well, all of the Disney movies moved from Netflix, or they're in the process of moving from Netflix to Hulu.
Oh, they are? Oh, that's right, that's right.
But they just released Finding Dory on Netflix.
Well, I think the way they're doing it, and I might be wrong, so feel free to look this up and correct me. But I think the newer stuff goes to Netflix, and then maybe later on it'll be moved to Hulu. But I know a lot of the older, especially the older animated cartoons, they were on Netflix, and now they've moved to Disney. Because I remember that being a big deal. So, you know, it might be to where, you know, all the major stuff gets put on Netflix, and then later on will be moved to Hulu, kind of really to make room, or, I don't know, have like a multi-platform licensing deal.
Mm-hmm. But
one thing I'm curious about, I mean, I know that, you know, seasons 1 through 5, you know, was broadcast on Cartoon Network, but, you know, season 6... it was put on DVD and Blu-ray, but aside from that, you know, it was launched really as a Netflix thing. So it's
yeah, when you pull up the listing, it says a Netflix original.
Yeah, so it's weird to me that, I mean, I assume they're taking all of it down and not just seasons 1 through 5.
I don't know. I feel like they are going to take down the... What did they wind up calling it? Like the lost episodes or something?
It was the lost missions, I think.
Lost missions, yeah. And yeah, I mean, I feel like it's an all or nothing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope they kind of supplement it with putting out a full box set now, because they've done the complete Clone Wars, but it was only seasons 1 through 5, and then you had to get Lost Missions separately.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're not. Mm-hmm. They've never really called Lost Missions season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like branding, it's always just been the Lost Missions.
Yeah.
So I'm curious that if we'll get an actual complete box set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be. Part of me thinks that might be easier to do than the streaming option, just because, you know, you can go out and buy it and you can have it just right in your, you know, right at your fingertips always, without having to worry about, you know, whether you're online or not, or like, I don't know, if you don't have Netflix, for example. I mean, I had a rough time watching it is, and I've talked about this before, but aside from the story itself of the show, I wanted to watch in chronological order based on the entire plot of the show, because, you know, I think the first chronological episode starts in, like, season 3 or something.
So yeah, it's...
It would be nice to maybe have a box set released as not just seasons 1 through 5 and then the Lost Missions, but rather, like, a complete Clone Wars chronological, here you go, you know, just watch it this
way. Or just have that as, like, a DVD extra.
Exactly.
You know, like, I shouldn't have to go look up that list by, like, Leland Shi
mm-hmm.
to get it in order. I should be able to just watch it in chronological order. And how cool would that be if that was a selection on the disc?
Yep.
That would be a little weird, because you have to jump discs.
Yeah. That's why I would just say you put it all in order from the start. And, you know, if you want to watch it season by season, you can either look up the list or just buy the separate season, you know, already without getting the box set.
Yeah.
That would be more... That's just my opinion, and I'm sure I'm the minority with that, so...
I mean, yeah, it's sad because... It's sad when anything leaves Netflix, especially something as good as Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And what hurts the most is that we just don't know where it's going.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Count me in the sad camp.
Me too. Now, I do have a little bit of news about some rumors that are surrounding the Han Solo movie regarding casting that came out within the last 5 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, share it with us, because I'm completely unaware of what you're talking about.
So, Thandie Newton, who is in Westworld,
mm-hmm.
who plays I always pronounce her name wrong.
Maeve.
Maeve, thank you. And was also in Chronicles of Riddick. She isn't there. The rumors are basically that she's in talks to be in the new Han Solo film. The AV Club and Variety have reported it, and they are pretty reliable. They usually don't report unless there are actual serious talks going on. Doesn't mean it's actually going to happen, but it means that there are probably talks going on. So if she's in talks, the only person I think that, I mean, I'm not quite sure who she would be cast in, but as someone who's read the Han Solo comics, my mind immediately jumped to Santa Staros.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
But she seems a little old for Santa.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's way too old to be Santa.
Yeah, she's too old to be Santa, unless they do some time jumps in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, because they might do some time... Yeah.
She also could be an alien.
Or she could be an alien, yeah. But it'd be nice to have... But it would be nice to have a black woman in the Star Wars movies that is a lead role that is not an alien.
Yeah, it would be.
Does that make sense? Like,
that definitely makes sense.
Because in Marvel, Gamora's an alien and she's not. She's green, and then in Star Wars, we haven't had a lead black character that not be an alien.
No, I got you.
It sounds weird saying that.
No, it doesn't. Like, aliens aren't an excuse for diversity. So, like, mm-hmm. I get it.
But her being an alien would be fine too. Like, I'm just, it'd be, I'm excited to hear about it, because I think she's a really good actress, and they are. It just seems like they're really rounding out and having a really good cast. I'm still really nervous about this film in general, but
I think this one is, if they manage to get a really strong ensemble cast of, I mean, we've already seen some pretty well-known names in Donald Glover, Emilia Clarke, and Woody Harrelson, and that's not even counting the lead role of Alden Ehrenreich. So, I mean, I think that at least casting right now, that they're doing a pretty bang-up job. I worry about the plot and the overall effectiveness and necessity of this movie, but right now, I mean, at least on the casting front, it's looking pretty good. And I would definitely be up for her as well.
Yeah, I'd love if she came on board. I'd feel even. I mean, she's been in some schlocky sci-fi, but I've loved the schlocky sci-fi she's been in. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge fan of Chronicles of Riddick, like a huge fan of that movie. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see her in another sci-fi epic like this. Considering how much, yeah, like that'd be really neat. Again, like I'm not quite sure who she'd be. Like again, Santa was the first person that came to my mind, but she's too old for that part.
Yeah.
If they were ever going to use that plot point, but I doubt they're going to they might pull some stuff from the comics, but I have a feeling they're going to try to steer away from that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's on the rumor front. It'll be interesting to see if and when we get a confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned the comics. We did have a bit of comic book news this week. There is a comic book crossover coming between, I think
the main Star Wars title.
Yeah, it's the main Star Wars and Dr. Aphra, right? Or is it just the characters?
Oh no, it's going between. It's a 5-issue run.
Okay,
that's going to be jumping from Star Wars 31 to Dr. Aphra number 7.
Okay,
and then I think there's a couple issues of the actual book called The Screaming Citadel.
Mm-hmm. And that's the title of the crossover.
Yeah, so that's the title of the crossover. Mm-hmm. So the official press release, Han and Chewie, C-3PO and R2-D2, Rey and Finn, Star Wars is filled with great duos, and an upcoming Marvel event is going to give us a new, if very, very unlikely one, Luke Skywalker and Dr. Aphra? Exactly. Pause for gasp. But no, it's being written by Kieran Gillen, I don't know why I messed up his name so bad.
Don't worry, everyone does it.
But it's written by him, who did fantastic on Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and he's currently killing it with Dr. Aphra, so it's cool to see him going on with this.
Mm-hmm, definitely. What do you guys think of a potential Luke Aphra team up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I love Dr. Aphra, and I love what she represents in terms of like. What she represents to the new Star Wars continuity is like she's our window to all the stuff that everyone's asking about, like what happened in the Old Republic, like how did this get here? She's literally the Indiana Jones of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So to have her kind of bring Luke Skywalker along gives us that connection of like, okay, like the stuff she's going to look up is going to directly affect him in some way.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm not reading the main Star Wars book, but I will pick it up for crossovers. So like I got it for Vader Down. I'll pick it up for this.
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately stopped reading the comics mainly because I was one of those that I wanted to support my local comic shop. And I purchased everything physically, but then some of the stories just really weren't clicking for me, and it became a little expensive, and I started running out of room to store them, so I had to unfortunately cancel all of my comic subscriptions. So I've not read really anything up until, honestly, when The Force Awakens came out is when I stopped reading. And I have some of the books really up until the start or the end of this past summer. So, I mean, I have some of the newer stuff that I've not read, but, I mean, I'm fine with this. What I did read, I liked Aphra as a character, and I certainly hope that we see more of her. I would love to see a film version of her. I don't know how well that would go off, but I think it would be an interesting concept to explore, you know, once we get out of the sequel trilogy mindset and start focusing maybe on some lesser-known characters. Maybe even a novel. I'll even take a novel. That's one of the novels I would actually be really excited to read.
I was going to say, Mr. I hate every novel in the world.
Yeah. So we got some Celebration news this past week.
Finally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you or if it's just me, but I feel like, at least for Anaheim, by this point we've already had, you know, a lot of news come out about it, but, you know, we're just a little over 2 months away from Celebration Orlando, and we hardly have any news. Like, we have a few guests that are confirmed. We have no panel announcements. We have no, you know, opening day Celebration extravaganza type thing. So it's weird that we're not getting that much news. But it was announced this week that Felicity Jones is going to be at Celebration. And although I only think it's for a day, you can get an autograph and a photo op with her. The only catch is that the autograph is $200 and the photo op is $250. And if you want both, you can get that for $450.
What a deal.
That is a steal.
Sign me up.
Yeah, so I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. So this, in case, you know, you didn't know, previously the people that ran the autographs and photo ops and stuff for Celebration was Official Picks. And they did not get their license renewed. I think it was probably a year or so ago now. And they announced that, you know, they'll be doing their own thing for Celebration going forward. So Topps is now the people who run this. It's called StarWarsAuthentics.com. And this is where you can do pre-sales for some of the, this is for, I'm assuming, later on all of the Celebration guests. But right now they only have a few up, I think. Off the top of my head, they have the guy that played Biggs Darklighter, Jeremy Bullock, Ian McDiarmid, Felicity, and a few others that I can't think of right now. But those are the ones that are confirmed, and, you know, prices vary, obviously. But that's the prices for Felicity, and I was looking at some of the other autographs that they have that you can purchase, and everything that's on there right now are all the new actors and actresses that have appeared in TFA and Rogue One. And I was looking, and I wrote some of these down. So if you want Daisy Ridley's and John Boyega's autograph, minimum will cost you $350 each. If you want Daisy and John together on the same photo, minimum is $650, or if you want it framed, it's $1,050. Adam Driver is $300. Brian Herring, who is the guy who performed BB-8, his minimum is $100, and there are higher prices for each of these, but those are the minimums. And I'm sorry, but don't get me wrong, I love Daisy Ridley. She's like become one of my favorite, not only actresses, but just as a person in general. I like the type of person that she is, and if I could have her autograph, I would, but I'm not going to pay $350 for it.
Yeah, like, that's just absurd.
Yeah.
Like, and hey, this is America. You spend your money the way you want. I get it. You know, if it makes you happy and it's not hurting anybody, go ahead. But that's more than the ticket.
Yeah,
so I guess, so I'm someone who spends, I spend quite a bit of moolah on photo ops. I'm a photo op person. I prefer a photo op over an autograph most of the time. I'm just because I have photographic proof that I was, like, talking to them as opposed to, like, the autograph. And then usually at an autograph, you have to pay for the selfie anyways, and I don't like that. Because that's the whole thing now, too, is that when you pay for an autograph, you also have to pay on top of that if you want to get a selfie with the actor.
Mm-hmm.
If they allow that. So I've seen a wide range of pricing on photo ops, autographs across the board. Because I usually, even if I'm not any, I don't end up buying any, I usually price them out because I'm always really curious on this kind of stuff. And I go to a lot of conventions. And what's interesting, if you look at what's on pre-sale right now, besides her, everybody for the most part is pretty well, I would consider well priced. Mm-hmm. Nothing, nobody else is, I think, overpriced. Ian McDermott's photo ops are $100. His autographs are $90. I think, to be honest, I think his autographs are a little overcharging. I think you should charge more for a photo as opposed to an autograph because photos take a little bit more because you're usually the person's standing and it's a little bit more intensive for the actor.
Mm-hmm.
But $100 for Ian McDermott, like, I think $100, that's fine. It's Palpatine. I get it.
Yeah, I paid $120 for Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Garrett Hagen, the guy who plays Biggs, is charging $35 for his photo ops. He's charging $25 for his autograph, $60 for both. That's right in line for him. What, from my understanding, and this is just from being involved in a lot of conventions and also having done a convention that was purely a fandom convention where I had to be involved in contracts. These contracts that are signed between the actors that come onto the convention, for example, like, one of the conventions I did was a Teen Wolf convention. I helped do accounting for a Teen Wolf convention. And so we would look at the contracts and basically what they get a guarantee, a certain amount of money that they're promised no matter what. And then they get a cut. They can either choose the way that we did the contracts that we did read. They could either set the price of their photo op and they got a cut. And they could choose, like, a flat cut of, like, you know, $10 of every photo op or a percentage of the photo op. And we set the price, and then they got a 5%, 10%, 20% of every photo op that was taken. And that's, from what I understand from my friend who works in contracting with PR, because we had to help get contracts get her to look over the contracts to make sure they were okay. That is typical. So this is coming from Felicity's end.
Yeah, it's really, I mean,
this is her end.
She
because
is,
Carrie Fisher could have charged more, and Carrie Fisher never charged more than, she was never more than $100 ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's what the market can bear and what you should, my personal feeling is there's what the market can bear, and the market can bear this $250 for a photo op and $200 for an autograph. But then there's also what you want to do for your fans and what you don't want to, I feel like you don't want to fleece your fans at the same time, and you want people who look up to you and kids and stuff and people who maybe can't, I feel like it's just too much, and I don't like it. I can't. The only time I've seen photo ops that are this expensive, it involves more than one person.
Yeah.
Never seen a photo op this expensive ever.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that, well, first of all, in her defense, she is only going to be there one day. So I imagine if she was going to be there 2, 3, even 4 days, it would be much cheaper because then she could get more people. And, I mean, it might be. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, I mean, so in her defense, she is only going to be there one day. But if you also go to this website, you can buy her autograph, you know, just normally right now, but it's more expensive. And the funny thing is that if you you know, do a little bit more digging, you can get, they also have Donnie Yen and Riz Ahmed on there as well, and I think they are, I believe they're $199 as well, or $200, whatever you want to say. But you can get the three of them on one print, and I think that might have also been in the 1,000 range. I can't remember.
Well, if you got to think about it.
Yes, it is $1,000.
Jeez. And, like, what always baffles me is, like, you know, I have no problem with... if you're really into collecting autographs, that's one thing. But it always baffles me that they charge more for an unpersonalized autograph. I guess because it's unpersonalized, that's why they're charging more. But, you know, if you're in person and you can get an autograph... Unless you're an autograph collector and you're collecting it for the sake of having, you know, a collection of autographs, I think it's worth more to have it personalized to you. So, like, the fact that Felicity's costs more on the website as opposed to what it would cost in person is... I've never fully understood autograph pricing on the secondary market, let me say. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different ballgame. But yeah, it's definitely a contract issue, and that's it's definitely something that's built into her contract.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the price, but there's percentages, and she may be asking for a high retainer fee, like a high guarantee that's causing that to be how much that's causing that cost, because it's one day and she's asking for a high guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. So
I just to, you know, out of curiosity,
it's business. So
mm-hmm. I looked up, I know Official Picks did a signing with Harrison Ford, and, you know, he is very, you know, hard to get, especially right now, because he does not do a lot of signings or public appearances. You can get his autograph right now on officialpicks.com for $679.99. Just him. And it's 8x10 photo. So, I mean, I'm not an autograph person. I have two autographs from people who probably wouldn't even be worth $100 total. So, it's whatever. But I just, for a name like Phil, I mean, don't get me wrong, Felicity Jones was a lead in Star Wars. I understand that. She is a relatively well-known actress, but she's not this huge name.
Well, she is an Oscar. She's got... Yes. Doesn't she have an Oscar now? She's Oscar nominated.
She might at least be nominated if she's not won. But you know, she's not like someone that literally everybody knows who they are.
No.
So, oh well.
But I mean, Carrie Fisher was, and she never charged that much.
Mm-hmm. I guess
I'm always going back to Carrie Fisher, but that's because, I mean, it just depends on what they want and how they're controlling it, because they may be controlling the amount of people through the price.
That is true.
I mean, there are all different issues. And again, I've dealt with a lot of different photo companies. We did our own photos when we did our fan run convention. But for example, like, I've worked with Epic and Froggy and a couple other ones, and so I've seen a lot of their different prices. But for example, like, Alice Cooper is going to be at Emerald City Comic Con, and he's charging like $70. The people from Outlander are charging like $80. Jason Momoa is charging $80. Robert Edlund. The most expensive, the most expensive people at Emerald City Comic Con are Stan Lee, who's $100. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy team up, which is two guys, and that's $100. And then for $150, you can get both the Outlander people. Mm-hmm. I don't know their names because I don't care about Outlander. But oh no, I'm sorry. Jeremy Renner is going to be there, and he's $120. Forgive me. Jeremy Renner's charging $120. And that, I think that's pricey, but he's a bigger name. So, but see, that's still under $150.
Yeah.
I could, like, if Felicity had charged like $150, I wouldn't be blinking an eye at that.
Mm-hmm.
But $250
is—it's just a bit much. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that it would be cheaper if you had if you bought the autograph and the photo op together, but it's literally just the same price. So it's, yeah.
And I mean, given you can split it four ways and it's cheaper, you know, if you get four people together and you split it four ways so you can have all four people in a picture. If you have four people you want in a picture with you with Felicity Jones.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
You can have up to four people in the picture. But you have to have four people that you like that want you want in your picture with Felicity Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, true, yeah.
And you don't get extra copies. Mm-hmm. You get one copy. You have to pay extra, for the record. I don't know how Topps does it, but you have to pay extra for a digital copy at mm-hmm. most of these places, too. I mean, it's like $10 more, but I always pay for a digital copy, but yeah. It's... But still, it's up to four people. There had been rumors that she was only going to allow one person, but I'm glad that those rumors were not true.
Yeah, I agree. So we do have one more two more pieces of news this week. There was a rumor going around that the Force Friday event for The Last Jedi is going to be on September 1st, which I'm assuming is on a Friday.
So. Yeah.
I have really enjoyed the Force Friday events. I enjoyed Force Friday for TFA. Rogue One, I didn't go out for, and I went to Target the next day, and they literally had everything there. So, like, the enthusiasm, you know, really wasn't there like it was this time, or, I mean, the time before. So I'm curious if they will do something, you know, even better for The Last Jedi, similar to what they did for TFA, but will you guys be participating in this, or just going to stay home?
It depends if I have work on... I get every other Friday off. If I'm working, that's a no. I don't care enough. Well, and also, like, there's nothing that came out on Force Friday that I didn't end up getting later, mm-hmm. but that's because the things I want are really... not overly popular anyways.
Yeah.
Nothing I want to... I tend not to want the super popular stuff.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen out of, like, love with Star Wars collectibles.
Well, there's I don't very, blame you.
there's very few that I'll still get. But, like, I'm a huge toy collector, and mm-hmm. my... tastes have kind of shifted, and I tend to buy less American figures now. Like, I don't want to sound snobby, but I like buying Japanese figures because mm-hmm. they're typically made better.
Oh, like have you seen some of the Hasbro sculpts?
Well, I mean, the sculpts aren't bad with Hasbro. It's the paint.
Yeah.
Because you can customize these and make them look gorgeous, but it's the paint on them that runs... how bad they are. Like, the last Hasbro figure I bought was the Comic-Con Jyn Erso, which all it was different was the box, but I love the box. And that's the sculpt underneath it is gorgeous, but her face looks so bland because it's the basic, like, mass market paint job.
Yeah.
Well, I was desperate for anything with Hux, and I finally got a Black Series Hux figurine, which are not very hard. They're not easy to find because they didn't make a lot of them. I finally got a hold of one.
And that's my other thing. It's like it's easier to get an imported figure than it is to get characters in the Black Series.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like my Black Series Hux, I haven't taken it out of the box, but you can see the paint job around his neck is all caked and horrible, and it looks like he's been decapitated. Like, I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, I'm really hoping, because I bought a hot toy, and it's been delayed, because apparently that's a notorious thing for hot toys, is that they're delayed. And the Star Wars ones look great. My friends have them, but I'm waiting for my favorite character to come out with a hot toy, and they haven't come out with one, so...
He's not going to get one.
Look, they put out like 8 stormtroopers. Why can't they put out...
Because it's Hux. No one likes Hux.
I beg to differ. Tumblr tells you differently.
Huxley getting a hot toy. I'm sorry.
Well, dude, but there's so many weird hot toys out there, though.
Well, no, but there's really not. Like, all the Stormtroopers are literally either different paint jobs.
Are they making a Krennic one? Did they make a Krennic one?
Yeah.
But he's boring. Krennic's boring.
Krennic is the best, but...
He disappointed me.
I love Krennic. He's probably my favorite Imperial officer now.
Tarkin's still my favorite.
But I don't know. Like, Krennic was much more of a lead character than Hux was.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm hoping in the next movie, maybe we're going to get a little bit more, and then he can get his hot toy, and then I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think he'll get his one in the next one, but it won't be a Force Awakens.
I wasn't thinking a Force Awakens edition. That's the thing. Like, I wasn't waiting for a Force Awakens. I was hoping for... I didn't want a Force Awakens one. I would just want a hot toy of Hux, period. I mean, look, they put out a Coulson one, okay? And that was before anybody knew Coulson was a thing. But Coulson is definitely... We're getting off track. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah,
Friday. Hey. Force Friday.
Force Friday.
I may buy a couple things. I tweeted my haul from the first Force Friday. Like, I remember that. I bought Disney Infinity. That was a horrible investment.
The figurines are cool.
The figurines are gorgeous, and I love those. It's just the game itself.
Yeah.
It could have been so much more.
You could have had it all.
They used it as a marketing device. So that's typical Disney. But I don't know. I may buy something. I didn't buy anything for Rogue One, like I said, other than Jyn Erso, but I got that before Force Friday. And the only real Rogue One thing I've bought since then, it was the Lego K2SO figure.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did buy stuff on Force Friday. I bought stuff on Force Friday for Rogue One. I remember, because I happened to be at Disneyland on Force Friday when they released all this stuff, and I bought a Krennic shirt that's covered in sparkles, and it's hilarious. It is a Krennic shirt that is literally covered in glitter, and I love it. Because
I like to just imagine Krennic wearing that in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's his alternate costume.
Yeah, it has sequins and glitter on it, and it's ridiculous, and I had to buy it. I bought a Krennic phone case. I bought a Death Trooper hoodie, and I bought some pens. Oh, man. I bought more for the Force Friday for Rogue One. I was really into Krennic, man. And then I was a little disappointed in him.
Yeah.
He let me down a little bit. But that's why I'm really excited. I'm hoping for good things. I'm hoping we get some deleted scenes, because there was some stuff that I saw potential in him, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last thing we got to talk about is something a little bit near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I really like The Force Unleashed.
Yes.
I was at the celebration that they announced this at back in 2007. The only time it was in Los Angeles. But
man, that's 10 years ago. That makes me feel old.
How do you think it makes me feel?
We're all old.
But I remember watching this with Hayden Blackman, like, talking about the game, and this was so cool. And the game itself, I've got a love-hate with, because there was a lot of potential there, and it didn't happen, and it didn't roll out, and there were corners cut, and this was in the waning days of LucasArts.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, so,
like, where they had a lot of great ideas, and then they just didn't, for some reason, go through with them all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the Force Unleashed was the Star Wars God of War.
Yep.
Like, that was the biggest thing you can compare it to. And it wasn't wrong. And this was one of the big things. Like, this was supposed to be their next multimedia event, because this was announced the same year that Clone Wars was announced.
Mm-hmm.
The CG series. So, like, this was supposed to be on par with that. The only thing is that this didn't get a TV show where that did. But, like, this had a book, this had a comic, this had, like, they had established that this was going to be official, like, George canon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why we're talking about it is because it is going to be one of the free games for Xbox Live members.
Mm-hmm.
If I had an Xbox.
Yeah. We just got one for Christmas, so I've been actively checking the store, waiting to see when it dropped, and thankfully I found out tonight in our show notes that it's the 16th, so I can wait a few more days. But it was funny because it's one of the backwards compatible games, and I was actually going to go buy it, but then I found out that it was going to be free, so I was like, all right, I'll skip on that.
Mm-hmm. And you should probably mention, too, that it's for both the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One.
That's true, yes, because you're getting the 360 game, but it is one of the backwards compatible games for the Xbox One.
Exactly.
So I originally had it on PS3, and not that it wasn't bad, it's just that version tends to be a little bit buggy,
mm-hmm.
and now and I can't get past a certain level now because the game just stops. And it's just one of those things that sucks because Force Unleashed 2 ends on such a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no idea what's going to happen because the story is just over. So it's just one of those things that, like, Force Unleashed 2 could have been great too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can say that about a lot of the Star Wars games in the 2000s era. So I think KOTOR 2 is a prime example of that. As much as I enjoyed KOTOR 2, it's not without its flaws.
That's the thing. Like, Knights of the Republic 2 is a little bit different because that wasn't made by LucasArts. That has its own story. But what makes this more disappointing to me is that this is actually a LucasArts game. Like, this is an in-house game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But that's a whole other topic.
Mm-hmm. But if you've not played The Force Unleashed, I would personally, and I'm sure you guys would say the same.
I highly recommend this game. It's fun. Like, and if you don't mind killing a couple hours in just mindless, you know, stormtrooper slaughtering, you know, action, this game is a lot of fun. It's a little dated because there's a lot of things in this game that we don't necessarily do in modern video games now. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's weird thinking that this game's like 10 years old now, but yeah, it's there's like QuickTime events were huge back then.
Yeah,
not so much anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you got Xbox Live, definitely pick this up in your free games.
Mm-hmm. Definitely worth the free price.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I also have the problem where I can't play it on I have my PS3 still set up for other games, and I can't play it on my PS3 anymore either. So, yeah, I'm jealous. Not jealous enough to go pick up an Xbox, but I will live vicariously through you, Mike.
I'll stream it for you.
Thank you.
All right, well, I think that is all we have time for this week on The Outer Rim. Lindsay, do you want to take us through the start of the closing?
Yeah, so you can contact us, and I think I'm sure you guys talked about it on the last episode, but we have our own email address at outerrim@randomchatter.com, and you can also find us on social media at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, on Twitter at outerrimpodcast and randomchatter, and our personal Twitters are the Chris of Chris, it's the Rocketeer, and at Betty Bloodshed.
If you guys could promote randomchatter.com, that would be great. We've actually just redesigned the website, so it's a little bit easier to find the shows. We've got it separated by categories now. So we have the entertainment shows, Random Chatter, Retro Convo, and the Cordcast. All the Star Wars shows are on their own tab, and all the television shows are on their own tab. So definitely go check that out. We've also got a new section for all the movie, TV, and book reviews that some of our other writers do. But definitely check out the new randomchatter.com. And while you're doing that, spread the word about us. You know, leave us a review on iTunes. You know, we're the new crew on Outer Rim. So if we can get some new reviews, kind of letting us know what you think of the new format, let us know. But you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are sold.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I'd like to say, too, is that if you already left a review on iTunes, go back and update it or change it. I don't know how that works because I rarely leave iTunes reviews. But go back, change it, you know, make sure people know that this is not, that the Outer Rim has a new format, a new topic. Just because if you go on there now, you see people talking about how this is a non-Star Wars show, and we're a Star Wars show now, so.
Yeah, you can talk about how much, people talk about how much they love Eric, and we know nobody loves Eric, so.
Oh, and you know, the funny thing is, he is so behind, he will not hear that.
Yeah, he'll hear that review. He'll hear that review when Star Wars Land opens.
Exactly. So.
Aw, snap.
But finally, we'd like to say a special thank you to all of our Patreon donors. Without you guys, I really don't know where we would be right now. So we owe a lot to you. If you're interested in becoming a donor, you can find more information about that at patreon.com/randomchatter. Just a reminder, $1 gets you into our Slack community, which I find to be really fun. Lindsay and Mike are not as participatory as some of the other staff members, but...
That's rude. I pop in. I told everybody good morning this morning.
You did.
It is not rude for me. I am never on there. Sorry, guys. It is a very true statement with me.
One of these days, we'll have some big announcement on there, and then Lindsay will just miss the memo completely and somehow get left out.
I will always get left out on the cold. I'm on other social media, guys. You can contact me there.
That is true. All right. Well, I think we are going to sign off for this week. We will be back next week with all of your Star Wars news content. In the meantime, don't forget that you can listen to Echo Base for all of the deeper Star Wars discussion. I know some people have asked me if this will become an Echo Base Lite, where we have, you know, hardcore discussions, and, you know, we're not really going to do that here. So this is really just the news. But with that being said, we'll see everyone next time. Take care.
Hey! Sorry, folks! I'm sure to do better next time!